Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie, and Normano.
We actually have a guest, a visitor to Life with the Girlfriends today. And Julie, explain who Normano is.
First off, say hi.
Hello.
Okay, that's right. That's Normano. That's your husband, my dad. Mm-hmm. And we felt on this Christmas podcast, we bring in the whole family. Well, they're not the whole family,
no. But
part of it. We've had a great, yesterday was a great Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And today's been kind of a nice, quieter Christmas day.
Yes, we decided to play music from... I don't know why, but Elton John just seemed like the perfect Christmas guy.
Yes.
We played Tiny Dancer. We played Levon.
And it's so funny because just going, if you don't know who we are, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're your in-house, certifiable, and certified life law of attraction coaches and life coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher and getting my master's degree. Yay.
I'm so proud of you, girl.
I'll be done in September. Yay. Or sooner.
Yay.
Can't wait for it to be done. And looking forward to the new year. It's been kind of a crazy... 2016 is going to go in the record book of being
crazy.
Not one of the best.
Doesn't make sense.
Literally, you are who you are during the worst of your times, right?
Isn't it true? You are who you are during your crises, during the worst of times.
And
it's like easy to be cool, right? When it's like going smooth.
But, and when crisis comes, and there's been a lot of them this year, it feels like. We've risen to the occasion. And unfortunately, though, then other things have slid away. And I'm looking forward to picking up those balls again.
Oh.
I don't know if you want to call them back.
To pick your balls, yeah. Jerry?
And speaking of balls.
Here's Normano.
Say hi, Normano.
Hello.
I think he knows how to say more than that. But if
we're sharing a microphone, so at this moment, no, we're going to have to share it together. I thought we'd just kind of shake things up a little bit since it's Christmas. And, you know, last night we had our traditional Christmas Eve party, our gathering of our families. And, you know, Greg came with his beautiful wife and his great children.
Yes.
And my Doug came with his two adult kids and their families. And then their family's kid, you know. And it was kind of nice because for the first time, you could really feel the expansion of our family.
Our group, yeah.
Of our group, of our tribe.
It was cute because Pippa was playing with the Santa Claus that sings, what is it, the Dashing Through the Snow?
Possibly.
Or the, that toy. And Quinn said, oh my gosh, that's the toy that I just was fascinated by when I was a little kid and came here, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I just really felt, you felt the expanse of time.
The expanse of time.
Yeah.
And
you made some great food, girlfriend.
Well, I made great food, and I made a great punch. It was your standard...
A great punch.
Yes, a great punch. And it was a standard... we're moving closer together because we only have two microphones for three of us.
And so
I will be spending the exact...
Hello, people, next year for next year Christmas presents.
Yes. Well, it's funny, for this whole hour, my dad will get the time of his life because he'll be able to put his hand around my shoulder.
Without you going,
I get to hug my daughter without her complaining for a whole hour.
Exactly. So you win this one, Dad. But
I'll remember it always.
That's right. But so it was such a sweet time. And you don't realize, like, Doug and I have been together for almost 17 years now.
And what did you say in the Mad Libs that it felt like 72,000 years?
72,000. Well, I asked for a number, and he gave me 72,360. I'm like, well, that's the number I'm using then, buddy. Because it felt like
that.
We had
some serious Mad Libs last night.
And so Quinn, who's 22, 23, got a good job at a law firm as a... I don't know what she's called.
She called herself last night a paralegal.
A paralegal. Mm-hmm. I love it. And she looked happy, and I felt really happy for her. But, you know, 17 years ago, you know, she would have been like 5.
Yeah, she was young.
You know, 5. And so
she's fascinated with that snowman.
Yeah, and so Lillian being 5, I can't even imagine Quinn being that young now, but mm-hmm. she was. And so
yes.
So the same songs we sing every year, and I guess we are different as a family because we do group things together at Christmases.
Yes,
we sing Gratefully, Gregory picked up guitar a long time ago.
Thank God.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Isn't
he good? Yeah, isn't he good, though?
You know, and so he's always willing to pick
right.
up the string.
And some people aren't. Do you ever notice that?
Yes.
Like some people who have a talent, and you're like, oh, my God, so-and-so plays the piano.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm not doing that.
I'm not your trained
monkey. I'm not your
monkey.
Trained monkey. No.
No. We're not saying that. It's no. like, dude, we're having a good time here.
Yeah. And Greg's always willing to do that.
I had no problem humiliating myself with,
with your food.
You did a very nice job of it.
Oh, thank you, Dad. But, you know, it's just, it's funny that way because you go, oh, and we had a nice punch. It was the typical ginger ale. Pineapple juice and pink sherbet.
Raspberry sherbet.
I say pink because, come on.
And you know, here's the thing that I learned this
bourbon,
year.
Yes.
The VO7. Yeah. I learned how the correct spelling and pronunciation of the word sherbet.
Yeah, sherbet.
S-H-E-R-B-E-T. And I always thought it was S-A-G-R-B-E-R-T.
Sherbet. Yeah, it is sherbet.
As those girls from Southern Illinois
say. Well, it's like orangutan.
In English, it is E-R-T. Our English, right?
Is it really?
Yes.
It's not sherbet?
No, I'm just saying. Oh. That's a French word. Sherbet's French. It's supposed to be sherbet, probably.
Oh, sherbet.
I'll bet you. The sherbet is a root word.
French. Oh, well, you know, Dad always brings something really knowledgeable
to the
conversation.
He always brings something to the table.
Or does it just always fall?
The raspberry sherbet made the iconic.
And so, so Doug calls today and he says, oh, we had a great time at the party last night. And the
only complaint that
I have for you is that, you know, why didn't you make more punch? I'm like, dude, I'm not here to.
I'm not your trained monkey.
I'm not your trained monkey, but also, literally, I realized the course of the night that I think Lillian asked for milk, and I never gave it to her.
Oh, no.
I know. I just forgot. I mean, I was
too busy. You were the hostess with the boasters.
Doing all this other stuff, and the only kind of, the only
she
punch
had too
I,
much punch.
I did. The only punch I could have made would have been flat with flat ginger ale. You know,
they would have had it anyway.
They would have had it anyway.
Here's what I knew that the punch was a hit. Because we had all the little punch glasses out and around. And then I saw Joey, he put his punch glass down and got the red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup punch.
And then Quinn put her punch glass down and got the red Solo cup.
Exactly.
Everybody's putting the little punch glasses down.
And going red Solo cup.
Going red Solo cup.
And like
you fill me up.
Yep. I love that song.
Yeah, how does it go?
I don't remember now.
Red Solo cup, you fill me up.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But yeah, and so it was funny because I'm not a boozy girl. I've never been a boozy girl. I like the first sip of a beer. Because that's where
only
all the antioxidants are.
Only because all the pheromones are.
Yeah,
yeah.
All the antioxidants and good stuff.
Yeah.
That's
what she said.
Exactly. You don't want to drink a calorie, so I don't typically drink, you know, sweet drinks, except this punch. And I had put some bourbon in it. And I just put, like, two shots, you know, and the whole thing.
And everybody's going, Julie.
And Greg, I go, Greg, did you like this? And he goes, yeah. I go, well, I think I should put a little more bourbon in it. He goes, well, did you put a whole bottle in it? I go, well, of course I didn't put a whole bottle in it. That's ridiculous. He goes, well, you didn't put enough in because typically you put a whole bottle in these things.
That's right. You do.
I go, you do? Well, then I just put whatever I had left in there, which I think was... Because, I mean, a whole bottle, you can buy four different kinds of sizes of bottle. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So I had enough, and Greg's like, oh, much better now. And I think typically we all had a really nice time.
Yes.
And I just said, well, because, you know, we used to be in, not Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but what was the?
RID.
RID.
Remove intoxicated drivers.
Remove those intoxicated drivers off the road. So consequently,
whatever happened to MAD?
I'm sure they're around. We're just not part of it anymore.
Yeah, maybe. I just never hear. I mean, they used to do commercials and.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe because it's decreased a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But what I realize is that, you know, I served it early and there was no way I was going to serve alcohol late.
Right.
I think, by the seventh inning, if you haven't bought your beer at a at a ballpark, you can't buy it anymore.
Correct.
So that's how I felt at the party. If you if the punch is gone, I ain't giving you more. You got water.
Right. Now you got coffee.
You got water and coffee, mm-hmm. which we didn't make any last night.
You didn't make any water?
We didn't make any coffee, I don't think.
Can I ask you a quick question? Yeah. How did the square ice cubes go over, or did they? Did you even bring them out?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, they lasted.
Good.
The very end.
I still got one in the freezer.
Really?
Yeah, because the punch was gone before I needed
That's
to keep
so
it cold.
Cool.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, what I did was you want me to put ginger ale in it. And what I did was I put pineapple juice.
Oh, okay.
Because supposedly if you freeze ginger ale, it loses its fuzz. It's a carbonation.
Ooh, I hate fuzzy ginger ale.
I
get all that stuff in my mouth.
Fuzzy ginger ale. So I put
that's my stripper name.
Fuzzy ginger ale.
Fuzzy ginger.
I know fuzzy ginger ale.
Oh, yeah. <That's right.
laughs> I kind of like that name.
That's right.
And so it was
that one joke that I told last night didn't go over though about. About blowing or snorting coke off a stripper's ass or something like that. Was that my joke? I can't remember.
It wasn't a joke. It just, it's one of my favorite sayings.
Right. But I said it and nobody laughed.
Nobody laughed. It's been hurt because they've all heard it before.
Is it because I'm an old woman?
Yes,
and
possibly.
Like, holy shit, why are you saying that?
I think it was in the wrong context too. I don't know what context.
I was reaching.
You were reaching.
Yeah, I was reaching.
And then you didn't say it right.
And I didn't say it right.
So I was what's she?
I did tell some jokes, right? Everybody was supposed to bring a joke.
Yes. And so we will, at this moment, we're going to share our jokes with you because it's Christmas and it'll be fun.
And so this is Christmas.
And so we're, even though typically we try and take the nuggets, tips, and tricks and from our daily life and how can we improve on life, this is really just kind of like,
same for all.
Free for all. Merry Christmas, and I hope you enjoy the next few jokes. So, girlfriend, do you have a joke you want to share with everybody?
I'll share my very first joke.
And they're kind of blue, and sometimes they're just they have a double entendre.
This one I think you'll get.
Okay, go for it.
Why did the female chicken cross the road?
Why?
So she could sing, "Hello from the other side." Must have.
But
that went over. Boom. Invisible microphone.
So, Normano, do you want to say your joke?
Sure. All right. There's a cruise ship with a magician doing the same act every night. Well, they have a pet parrot who's watching the show, and he learns the act, and he starts telling everybody what's coming next. He says, oh, he's got it hidden up his sleeve. It's in his hat. It's in his shirt. In his pocket. Well, the magician hates this guy, but he can't do anything about it. Then one day the ship runs aground and capsizes and sinks. And I don't know how it runs aground and sinks, but
I don't
it does.
Know either,
it
but does. That's not ship, that important
okay,
part
there's a storm.
Of the story.
The ship sinks.
Yeah.
The magician comes to the surface, finds a board, gets on it, and then the parrot lands. And they hate each other. The magician just hates his parrot. They're staring at each other for 2 days. Finally, the parrot says, okay, I give up. Where is the ship?
Ba-dum-bum. I think we should do a ba-dum-bum after every one.
Yes. Ba-dum-bum. Drop the mic.
Invisible drop.
Exactly.
Invisible microphone drop.
There you go. Okay.
It's yours turn, Julie.
My turn. Okay. It'll be a Christmas joke. Okay, so anyway.
Is this about the dead grandpa?
No, so we've got several jokes. So
next
2 or 3 minutes, we're going to just tell one-liners, two-liners, see how it all goes. So, well, this is not really a Christmas joke, but I'm going to say it anyway.
It's Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas. It's a Christmas joke.
Yeah.
You know, I really wanted a bike, and I was praying to God. God, can I please have a bike? And I realized God doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
And so what I did was I went and I stole my neighbor's bike and then asked for forgiveness. Because I know God loves that. He loves to forgive me.
Ba-dum-bum.
So what happened, because everybody had to come with their own joke.
I've got another one.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. This one was, because we live near the Mississippi River. Or no, we don't. We live near the Rock River. Not too far from the Mississippi River. But in the old days, the Rock River was used for trading. And they used to have mail order cows come down this river when people would buy cows. And And then, and guess how the mail order cows came down the river, on the Rock River?
Mm-mm. Nobody knows? No, I have no idea.
On the cattle logs.
Ba-dum-bum. Mic drop.
What do you call a cow without legs?
Go ahead, say it.
Hamburger.
No.
Oh, ground beef. Ground beef. Hello. The ground part is important, Norm.
Oh, shoot. I screwed that one up.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you screwed that one up. That's okay. Hamburger.
What do you call a turkey without legs? Turkey burger.
Well, now here's
the guy. What do you call a pig without legs? Hot dog.
What do you
I guess we could do this all night.
We could do this all night. Exactly. But okay, so then someone brought a joke about...
I have another joke.
Oh, go for it. You tell another joke.
Are you going to switch over to the sack jokes?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell my other joke.
Okay, tell your other joke now. Okay.
This one's a little longer, but there's a bunch of third, fourth, and fifth graders, and they're going on a student expedition. They're going to the racetrack, and two teachers are coming along, two female teachers. And so they get to the racetrack, and they're learning about, you know, horses and seeing all the stuff. And all the kids decide at one time that they've got to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So one female teacher says, "I'll take the girls, and you take the boys to the restroom." So they do, and so the female teacher goes into the restroom, and a third grader goes up to the urinal, and he can't reach it. So she says, "Let me pick you up by the, you know, armpits, and lift you up and high enough that you can go pee then." And so she does, and then he goes, "Thank you." And then there's another little boy in line, and then so she picks him up, and then he goes pee, and then another one, and another one, and finally the next one, she notices that this little guy is very well endowed, and her first thought was, she said to him, "Oh, you must be in the fifth," and he said, "No, ma'am, I'm in the seventh. I'm riding Silver Arrow, but thanks for the lift."
Get it? He was a jockey.
Did I not? Did that Julie, fail to translate,
Julie?
That
was clear, Jewel. That was clear.
Invisible microphone drop. Ba-doom. Okay, now I really don't have any more jokes, I don't think.
Okay. So. Well, now we're going to move on to some of the Christmas jokes.
Okay.
And someone brought this joke, which started a chain of events that we just couldn't stop.
Right.
So, why is Santa's sack so big? Because he only comes once a year. Ba-dum-bum.
And that started a joke. Which started the whole world laughing.
And so I don't remember all the Santa big sack jokes, because there were quite a few going on. I think Gregory said one. I can't think of what his one was, wasn't it?
Man, but then you made up one today.
I made up one this morning, because I just kept thinking, what, there's got to be more. This almost should be a never-ending supply
it really
of jokes.
It really was true, because I was frustrated last night, because I kept thinking, I have got to come up with one. And all night long, my mind was like percolating.
Right.
And I couldn't think of one.
Well, it's funny, because so did I. I went to bed with Santa's big sack on my mind. Sack. And
when I woke up this morning, Santa's big sack was on my mind.
And
as long as it's not on your face.
Well, it was on my mind. Went to sleep, had some horrible dreams. I don't know what happened.
I know you did, girlfriend.
Bourbon-filled dreams. Yeah. But thinking about Tim Ferriss, which we're going to talk about during Pillar Talk, you know,
we're actually going to have pillar talk today.
We'll see. It may not be very much, but it was interesting, because a lot of times you're supposed to, you know, the night before, you know, you have go through the bed with something in your mind, and then when you wake up in the morning, you might have a breakthrough.
You have a breakthrough,
and literally, we came up with a joke without much effort,
much ado.
Yes.
So tell it, Jules.
Okay. So here's a go. So it's Christmas Eve, and the Peters family is still having their party, and it turns into Christmas night. Midnight strikes. And all of a sudden, we hear this thump, 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 and Santa's coming, and he gets stuck in our chimney. Normano goes to the chimney and says, "Santa, you can't come out of that hole. Your sack's too big." Then Christine says, "That's what Mrs. Claus said."
And we Snapchatted that joke everywhere this morning.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's not on.
It's not
Jimmy
viral.
Kimmel.
Yeah, did that go viral? the Santa large sacks. Yeah. Sack joke.
You know what I kept wanting to do?
What?
I wanted to put somehow the elves in a sack joke. And I kept, you know, because there's always the elves on the shelf, the elf, yes. the elf on the shelf, you
right.
know, now. But, like, what about the elf in the sack? I kept, that's the where I wanted to go with that. And I could not find the punchline.
Well, do you know why there's so many elves? Do you know why there's so many elves? Because Santa has a large sack.
That's a good one, Charles.
Maybe those elves are the little swimmers in his sack.
Yeah. What does Santa's... Yeah. If you want to know what Santa's semen look like, just look at his large sack.
It's like the elf is the little swimmer.
Yes.
I'm just like...
Was that your attempt of making a joke water?
No,
okay.
I was letting Norm lead the way. I thought he might.
I know where to go. I took the first step. That's it.
Okay. That's it. Okay.
Well, that's what Dad usually does.
Yes, he does that.
He throws out the first step or he ends it. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, the punchline was
No, that's right, because you did this joke.
Yes.
And then Norm wanted to take it a step further and he said something like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You said. And Christine said, Mrs. Claus said.
And Mrs. Claus said.
That's what she.
Then Mrs. Claus said. And that's what she said. Or no, no. Then you said, that's what Mrs. Claus said.
That's right. And then Norm said.
Yeah. And then I went.
What'd you say?
I went too far. Whatever it was, I went too far.
Went too
then
far.
You went and talked to Santa again.
And then everything
said,
just fell
if
flat.
You lighten the load, Santa.
He was something like that, yeah.
You can get down that chimney. And then Santa goes, well, do you got a magazine?
All I got is the National Enquirer.
And so Dad Normano goes into his room and pulls out this stash from, dusted it off, you know, because he has been on the...
They don't have nudie magazines anymore, do they?
Well, that's why you had to dust yours off.
That's right.
That's right. She thought, he thought you were dusting his sack off.
Okay.
Norm, you had an Old Spice joke, though, didn't you, about your sack or something?
Oh,
like
they were talking about Santa's sack. And then Dave said, he made a joke about my cologne being Old Spice.
Ah.
And I said, oh, you have been smelling my sack.
No, you did not say that.
That's
hysterical.
Did
David laugh?
Everybody
laughed.
Everybody laughed.
I thought maybe I went too far.
Yeah.
No, you didn't go too far. It was one of those nights.
Yeah, and then, of course, Joey told the joke about what's the worst place in a hospital to play hide and seek? The scariest, worst place to play hide and seek in a hospital.
I know, the morgue?
That's what I said. No, ICU.
I see you.
That's right.
Boom, boom. That was funny. It was funny, too, because Joey told me a joke in private. And if you've heard our podcast before, you might know Joey, because Joey's Quinn's Joey. She said she graduated from college and brought up Joey with her.
She brought up she didn't even bring a degree home right
initially.
Initially, she just brought a Joey home.
Yep, the degree came with another 3 hours of credit.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, he goes, but it was in mixed company. I'm like, really? What was so crazy? And he goes. It was something like, oh my gosh. It's something about a person who has, what do you call a guy who has no arms? Bob. I'm like, that was me. That was your big joke. And then he says, do you know who's knocking at your door? I go, no. He goes, well, it's not Bob. I thought, oh, that's funny.
Where do people that... with only one leg work?
I don't know.
I have. And what's the name of your favorite the favorite waitress that I have?
What?
Eileen.
Good. Well, it was funny because, so the kids, they're at that age Greg's kids.
Spent hundreds of dollars on them.
Yes.
And the one thing, the one thing.
Well, because you believe in this, which is so true. Quantity is great for kids.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much you spend on a gift, a certain gift. They really like the quantity.
Yes.
And one year we bought them more expensive gifts, but only a couple.
Right.
And you could tell that they're...
Lillian came up to me and whispered in my ear, Grandma, is there any more? Like, is that all?
And you're like, note to self.
Go quantity.
And I get that because I remember when we were kids, Santa would always bring our gifts in a trash bag.
It was a Santa's sack.
A Santa sack.
Santa's black sack.
Yeah.
And I was Kardashian before it was cool to be Kardashian.
Yes, exactly. And then what was very interesting about the black Santa's black sack is that, and it was just filled with what I would consider now $1-2 toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the bouncing ball against the paddle. You have jacks. You have cards. I mean, stuff that would
nail files.
Yeah, it's nail files. But you're happy because you're like, oh my god, I could use this. Oh my god, this is awesome. It was great. And so we kind of went with that theme a little bit. They weren't that kind of lower, but you know,
no. Yeah. But the one thing. Amidst all these, you know, great gifts, I saw from Walmart that they had these emoji pillows.
Right.
And everybody knows that the one more famous emoji is the little pile of poo.
Right. Everybody likes the pile of poo, the poo face.
Right. And I got Pippa the poo pillow.
Because they both came with their own jokes.
Yes.
And they both had to deal with poo. And I think one was, knock, knock.
Who's there?
And Pippa goes, Mr. Shampoo. And we're like,
Mr. Poo-poo Shampoo.
Yeah, poo-poo shampoo.
There was a lot of poo-poo jokes last night. But it was interesting is that when, and I had talked to both girls in the summertime about these emoji pillows. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think that'd be so cool to have. And people was just like all aboard for a poo-poo pillow. But at that time, Lillian was like, no, I don't really want to say bad words and all that stuff like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to honor that. And I got her like, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades
emoji pillow. Yeah, sunglass Ray-Ban emoji.
Yes, exactly. And then sometime during the night, she said, I like my sunglasses, you know, but how come I didn't get a poop pillow? And I said, well, when we talked previously, you were at that stage where you were not wanting to say bad words. You know, you didn't want to say poo-poo anymore. Do you recall that? And she shook her head, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, so have you grown out of that stage? She went, oh, yeah. I'm there now.
I'm there.
I can say
in the presence of my grandparents to say poo-poo, because this is a poo-poo safe zone.
So next time you're thinking about getting me something with poo-poo on it,
I'm there.
I'm like, okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. We've all grown up believing that it's in a family situation, you can use toilet humor.
Right.
It's fun. It may be you've told us that sarcasm is the lowest form of comedy.
Correct.
And toilet humor is about 2-3 steps above that.
100%.
And so
I'm all for toilet humor.
Yeah. And so.
And as long as you use your inside senses.
Yes.
And you don't take that outside.
And it was so funny because, you know, Gregory says we all have the talk when they leave, which is, okay, when you leave these doors, no more talking about poop, you know, and funny, because not a lot of people think it's funny.
Right.
Just Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Julie.
Right.
We think it's hysterical.
Because there are some people in the world that can't.
Poop.
And then you're like, oh, no, you hurt their feelings.
Yeah, you can't. You don't want to offend anybody. And some people might go on, they're talking about poop. I haven't had a good poop in a long time.
That's right. I'm offended. You hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Don't hurt my feelings.
So that's why we keep it inside.
Yeah, keep it inside.
Or constipated.
Yes.
That's what we say.
Exactly. And so that was great. But it was also cute because Lillian, money-wise, it was very similar. And we went one-to-one because they're at that stage where they're both kind of competitive. But one of Pippa's gifts just happened to be the appearance of a bigger gift,
right,
you know?
Right.
And Lillian kind of got her feeling like, where's my big gift? Like, oh, little girl. You know? And it was just, and you just go, you're like, okay, let it go, Julie, because you just can't win this one.
No.
Because they're just at that stage.
They're somehow accounting. They're counting it.
Yes, they're counting it all. And they're looking. Who is Grandma and Grandpa loving more?
The poo pillow.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
And, well, I think it's a natural sense of fair play.
Right.
That, you know, it's something, you know, in anus. In anus? Is that a word?
You said anus.
You said anus. I'm like, what?
In anus? Yes.
Norm had to say that.
Yeah.
Talking about poop pillows. You had to say anus, didn't you?
I did.
Was that planned?
No.
No, just came to you right off the bat.
Genius.
Just came out
Comedy
of you.
Genius.
Comedy genius. Timing. Great timing, too, man.
You.
Awesome.
You know, kids will have a sense of fair play. It's just in anus.
Dropped his mic, left the room.
Boom.
Boom. So the party was great last night.
Yes.
We had guitar playing. We sang Elton John songs. We sang our typical song. I guess we've sung this song a lot because Quinn says she has never heard this song before except at our parties.
And this is Danny's song.
Danny's song. We sang Daniel, Elton John, and Danny's song.
Danny's song.
And it is, we just love that song, Danny's song. Everybody knows it. Everybody can sing it. It's a sweet song.
In my humble opinion, I think that if...
You're a ho?
I'm ho. I'm ho.
You're H-O?
In my humble opinion.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I am H-O. That if a guy was smart and he wanted to get the chicks, that would be the one song he would learn.
Right.
Because that song will get any girl...
Right, because more even though women love security and love a guy with money, we always think, well, we can always make money.
Right.
But if you know a guitar, you can play guitar and you can say, I'm so in love with you.
So in love with you, honey. Everything
will bring a change of love. Not sure if those are the words.
And in the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything is gonna be all right.
That's our song.
Virgo rising is a very good sign. I don't know the rest of it.
Well, it's funny because we have two iconic songs that people know our family from, I guess. And it's kind of cute because, you know, Quinn, you know, mentioned it. So that's one of the songs.
She got one of our Christmas presents.
One of our Christmas presents is a poster that says, Tramps like us.
Baby, we were born to run.
and so I thought that was very interesting. You know, and I'm laughing right now because for whatever reason, Dad chose this moment to...
F-A-R-T?
Yes. But not just that, to make a big production out of it.
Oh, no.
And I just don't understand why you...
Norm, you're on the mic.
But why lift your butt cheek? I don't get that. What is that about? I swear, we all fart. We do, but I just don't like lift my butt.
I'm sorry, folks. I didn't know I was doing it. It's just
that. Oh, he's at that stage.
No, please. This is not good. Okay, so, it's like we had ukulele playing. David brought his ukulele and Christmas music, and the kids, we did. At the end, we finally said, okay, what do you want us to play? And Lillian goes, Little Drummer Boy. And. Mm-hmm. David's like, okay, you gotta be the Little Drummer Boy and play the drums. And she got the bongos and she played. And so it was just really fun. It was really nice. And, you know, and Greg, I always love Greg's playing because I'm just strumming down the nose, strum, because I'm learning ukulele as well, strum. And then because he's been playing guitar since he's been, you know, I don't know, 10 or 11 when he ever started teaching himself guitar, I mean, he juices it up a little bit, got a little blues in it always, and it's just so it makes everything sound so much better.
He's good,
and it was great because, you know, Hillary and Dave brought their little Jack over, who's 5 months now, maybe 4 months,
maybe,
and he didn't cry one bit.
No,
he just was in it to win it.
Yeah.
He just was having a good time.
I just love this little guy. We babysat for him just a couple days ago.
Yep.
And he's just a kid.
Yeah, he's just a kid.
I want to drink my milk. I want to watch a little TV.
Yes.
I just want to hang with you.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't need to be, you know, he's just a kid.
Well, it was so funny. I did something wrong last night, which I were like, what'd you do? I wish I didn't say it, but it kind of was funny. So Hillary's breastfeeding, and she just breastfeeds now without anybody knowing. She just puts a blanket over her, and then I always see her during Christmas season. Which
people know.
It was funny because I'm going, Hillary, do you want me to make you some cheese and crackers? You know, because I got gluten-free, because she's celiac. So I've got separate cheese and gluten-free crackers for you. And I go, or do you want me to wait till you're after your breastfeeding? And she goes, no, you know what? You can. Or I think her risotto, because I made gluten-free risotto, which meant I had to rinse off the damn rice. And I was
kidding.
I told Hillary, I go, that's not easy, rinsing off rice, first of all. And she goes, I know. She goes, how did you do it? I go, I used a towel, because I couldn't figure out how you rinse off the rice.
Mm-hmm.
Can't use a regular colander. The rice just falls right out.
Right, exactly.
I go, it was not easy. And she goes, no, I agree. And then, and I go, and then Greg's like, you're breastfeeding? Oh, my God. I have to walk away. But then it was kind of funny because it led us all on this tangent of, like, now Greg felt the need to show everybody his boobs.
To
make it all equal. He goes, I guess we should just all show each other our own boobs right now. Just get it all out there.
And then he wanted us to, all the girls to line up and feel the men's boobs and see if we could tell our guys' boobs from everybody else.
Yes.
And then I said, we should make the, you know, he wanted to blindfold us.
Yeah.
I go, no, you guys be blindfolded and let us feel you up and you tell us.
Which hands are yours. And Rebecca goes, he would not be able to tell. He would be on the floor laughing. And she goes, I'd be on the floor right now laughing hysterically. I'm like, yep, that's true. So it was a really good time, and it was funny because I didn't remember this. I always think we have this party every year, but I guess last year we didn't have one because we all got a bug like literally the day before Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you said, I don't want to have Christmas.
I couldn't.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, were we really that sick, or were we just not wanting to have Christmas? I don't know.
Oh, we were sick.
I think we were sick.
I know I was.
I think because we have so much... you hate this about me, but I typically want to wait to the last moment to do everything.
Hate this, yeah.
For Christmas.
I do hate this about you.
Yes. And I can't fix it, so what? What am I going to do? It's one of the things you can just put on the thing. I hate Julie because of this. But I love her because of all these other things. So
that's right.
You can
pros
and cons.
But Julie likes to just decorate the day before.
Well, now I have to.
Yeah, that's
because,
true. You do.
I mean, Elliot, our little dog, and let's just take a little moment and go into...
Elliot's Corner?
Elliot's Corner. Once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome here we are at Elliot's Corner. And
continue on with the Elliot's Corner's Christmas story.
So, you have been on me all week long saying... You need to decorate Christmas, you know, I'm telling you right now, Mom, I cannot decorate for Christmas until the day of the party. And she's like, why? I said, because Elliot will be curious about everything I put up, like last year, and he'll want to eat stuff, he'll want to eat the greenery, he'll want to tackle this, and I decided I don't want to do it. And then finally, you won a little bit, and I started putting things up that were way too high up,
mm-hmm.
farther away, where he couldn't get it. And then I started hearing him bark at just
random stuff. Almost like, oh my God, something's wrong. This guy is really barking.
Yeah, I go
scary.
In there, I'm like, and you're like, what's he barking at?
Yeah.
I go, he's barking at the Santa on top of the desk, Mom.
Yeah. He's just, and you actually videotaped it.
Yes.
He's just there barking right at Santa.
Yes.
Just barking at him.
Just barking. And I just said, oh my gosh. And it calmed down a little bit. This was like 3 days before Christmas. And you just kept saying, please put the stuff up today. And this was on the 23rd. And I said, no, I'm going to do it the day of Christmas Eve. And so I did it. And he was in your bedroom the whole time. And he stayed in your bedroom the whole time for the party because I didn't want to deal with the kids. You know,
right.
Elliot's a great little sweetheart, but he is an active dog. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been the best of trainers with him,
mm-hmm.
To say the least. You know. But anyway, so... last night we let him out of the bedroom, and literally, immediately, he goes into the living room. I have this huge scenery of this movable Santa on top of the desk. And I have
this whole scape,
really.
Right.
Big trees and Santa Claus and a reindeer. They're all moving. And he is just in the living room staring it down, barking.
Right.
Barking. And then later on, I realize he has an ornament in his mouth.
Oh, no.
And he bit it open and it broke.
Oh, no.
I know. This is, yes. And luckily we got all the pieces, so mm-hmm. I don't think he swallowed anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just like, oh, for heaven's sakes. So from now on, our Christmas will literally be a 12-hour
window.
Window, because I can't take it.
No.
You know? And
he goes away.
Or he goes away.
He goes away during those days.
He gets bored.
Even they don't want him.
Yeah, please, not during Christmas. But, and you know what? And how do you out-train that? You know, I mean, it happens once a year. I'm not going to take Christmas stuff out all year round and desensitize him. Mm. And
do you think that would work, though? Eventually, he would.
It would work if I was that kind of a person. When I would be on him 24/7, but I'm just not that good at training.
Right.
I mean, he really does beat you down and win. And I know that for training a dog, that's the wrong philosophy. You can't let the
dog. You could sell that course online for $49.
Exactly.
He will beat you down and win.
Yeah. So get to know your dog. He'll grow out of it.
Yeah.
No, he won't. He doesn't grow out of it. But he has such a... That's just one reason why I hate Elliot, but that's on the con side.
Right.
But he has a whole long list of pros that I think he's just a sweetheart.
And so what you're saying, though, is that when I say to you, Julie, please decorate the house before Christmas, and you say, no, Elliot wins. No, Elliot loses.
Elliot loses because he really enjoys that.
I guess.
But you lose... I win,
for sure.
And well, I lose as well, because then I have to get to hear before the party. Remember this concept of buffer time, where we allow ourselves more than enough time to get ready for the party, and no one's in a big rush, and someone had to put up Christmas stuff before the party. And I'm like,
oh, who could that be? Who could that be? The concept of buffer time?
I guess it was Mom, and I just put that in a little back burner. I
said, elf on the shelf place.
Yeah. Well, I just put it in the back burner, like, I understand your opinion and your side, and I get it. Ain't going to change. This party has
have a glass of punch.
It's the same. Yes. It's the same thing about Dad wanting to put the lights up in a different way every year.
Oh, my God.
And I said, we put up lights once a year. There's just really no point in us having this conversation, because we're not going to change our ways. And I just don't feel the need to put hours into rectifying a problem of like, hey.
A once a year problem.
Yes.
Can you explain what that one, Norm, would you like to explain the problem?
Yes, I would like to explain it. Every year we have, our lights are all in a big knot. We can't get them up. We take a half hour job and stretch it out for 3 hours. My thought is we just put them on a long pole and hang them in the garage in the ceiling. And then every Christmas we just come and hook them up on the banister and go. But no, we can't do that because
nobody likes big poles with lights on them in the garage.
Right.
And it would be in the ceiling.
The ceiling.
And so, but here is the concept you're not really getting, is that, first of all, it doesn't take 3 hours. It takes an hour. Hour and a half, max.
No.
Now, Mother thinks it should take 20 minutes.
I do think that.
Now, hence the
it
word.
It would take 20 minutes if we did it my way.
And it would... But how do you know that? You don't think having us putting the things back on poles and putting poles downstairs, hanging them up, is going to take longer. But I'm just saying, I think it just wastes way too much time to contemplate.
I agree.
But you know what?
It's your contemplation
brain,
time.
Your brain, if you want to, since they're
when
up
he takes
now,
his, yeah, they're up, yeah.
You have, I will give it to you.
Yeah, if you want to take
Merry
them down.
Merry Christmas. You get to win this one,
yeah.
And you can take these lights down the way you want to take them down, so that next Christmas, 355 days from now. 365 days from now. Is that right?
Yeah.
356, 365?
365.
Yeah.
I accept that challenge. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Okay, good. Well, we can move on from that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
But...
I guess Norm's parrot joke could qualify as part
but
of Elliot's
corner.
We already
told that joke.
No, that's what I know, but I'm saying it would qualify.
I agree. I'd like to move into movie time real quick before we go into Pillar Talk.
Sure. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
Okay. So I did see a movie on HBO. Let's do a really quick review because it was called Midnight Special. And I'm going to give it 3.5 Sherpa stars, Sherpa hats, only because I found the ending fascinating.
Which we now know that we're actually judging things on endings now.
I felt that the ending was satisfying. If I get an unsatisfying ending,
screw it.
I feel like I've wasted 2 hours of my life.
You bet.
And so I don't want to tell you much about it because there was some slow parts. I can't tell you it was fast acting, but I thought it was compelling. Mm-hmm. And we had been starting our light body course again and doing more light body work meditation. And so there had some elements of light body work in there. Yeah. And I thought, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell much more of that.
No, but it's an indie movie. So
it felt like it.
Well, in the sense that, you know, it's not like all this big action.
No. And if you can watch it on HBO, I'm guessing you can watch it on Amazon or Amazon Prime or Hulu or
Roku,
Netflix.
Netflix.
And so that's what I'm going to do. Did you have a movie you saw or no? I don't think you've seen
it. No, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I didn't. I mean, Christmas Story is back on again, which is, you know, we were asking everybody what's their favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And you said It's a Wonderful Life. And what did you say, Norman? You said something. And people were saying like Elf and like Home Alone.
Miracle
on 34th Street.
34th Street, yeah.
But really, A Christmas Story, you know, remember like, I'll shoot your eye. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That was a great one.
Yeah. And the little kid. He sticks his tongue on a frozen pole.
His tongue sticks.
I mean,
great.
And remember the dad. He won the lamp with just the shape of the woman's leg and stuff. I mean, that to me, when you think about iconic Christmas movies, I mean, granted, not as old as Miracle on 34th Street, but that's
or It's a Wonderful Life. But
yeah, it's such a lovely movie because it really reminded me of like how families were at that time. I mean, kids were kids.
Right.
You know, they did goofy stuff. You know, they went outside and got their tongue stuck on the, and dads were always crabby, and the dog always wanted to eat the turkey.
Right.
And you know what I mean? The mom was always just like,
well, the one thing
suffering.
About,
and
it felt like that movie was done in very small vignettes. Here's a scene that's iconic. Here's a scene that's iconic. Here's a scene that's iconic.
Right.
And over and over and over again. And I think that's why you went away going, this reminds me of the time I grew up
in. Right. I knew. And so I loved that. And I noticed today that it's on
all day long.
TNT and TBS
all day long.
And so I'm probably going to tune into that. And it was interesting, too, because, you know, the grandchildren have been, like, so, for the last couple of years, so frozen, you know, frozen fever. But somehow, and I think it's when they went to Disney or something, they rode a Wizard of Oz ride or something like that. And so now they're all into Wizard of Oz. And I'm like, OMG, that was my favorite movie growing up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, I mean, it was like really, I was like, my favorite song from Wizard of Oz, no, not Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but we represent the Lollipop Kids. And I was singing that, and I got chastised.
Right, because it's not Lollipop Kids. It's the Lollipop Guild.
I know, but doesn't Kids sound much better?
Well, yeah, it does. And what was funny is we got told, and we're like, did you know it was always Guild, or did you not know?
No, honestly, I just thought, and to me, it always sounded better.
Yeah.
You know,
I know it sounds better.
I just thought it was the Kids.
Lollipop Kids.
I never knew the Guild at all. I recall it. Yeah.
Who is the Guild? I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so
you got called out on it.
We got called out on it. Yeah.
And it was like this whole
thing.
And
then we got called out in another song, Chestnuts Roasting
on an Open Fire.
Is that the one?
Yeah, you know.
Where we'll sit by the fire. Yeah. We'll perspire.
As we dream by the fire.
And we like, and you were reading the words
and I go,
the music.
Where's the word perspire at?
Where's perspire at? They go,
is that in the song? I go, there it is in the song.
Mom sings this song.
And they're talking about perspire.
We'll perspire as we sit by the fire.
It was not in there.
It was not in there. So I got schooled twice.
You got schooled twice.
Night.
Well, you know what? It's good
school
to keep.
School me once, shame on me. No.
Shame on you.
Really,
if you
get schooled twice. School me twice, shame on me.
You know what, though? It's good to have a healthy ego. You can sustain that, right?
Oh, I can't sustain that.
There you go.
I'm not Trump.
There you go. Exactly. For sure. What? No, wait. Wrong.
Wait, what? Yeah, wrong. Wrong. Dishonest. Crooked.
You're wrong. So you ready for a little pillar talk?
Absolutely.
So here we are at Pillar Talk, and we got 5 minutes left to go, give or take.
No way.
Yeah.
Norman was able to stay awake for the whole program? I didn't think so.
That's exciting. I can stay awake.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. We're exciting to him. That's awesome.
They never talk to me otherwise.
We tolerate you.
That's true. And so here we are at Pillar Talk, which we talk about, do a little more formal coaching and what we've kind of heard, concepts that we've heard about this week that we want to kind of go a little bit deeper in. And of course, we've allowed ourselves only 5 minutes for that deepness.
We can dive deep, honey, in 5 minutes.
Yes.
That's enough to make you pass out right there.
For sure. Yeah, we don't want to have your head explode from our deepness. Or that's what she said. That's what Mrs. Claus said. So anyway, I think we were talking about, I was talking about Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. And he was doing an interview, a live podcast with 3 other gentlemen. But one guy was talking about this story. I guess this could have been in actually animal story as well. He was talking about this famous bullfighter. Mm-hmm. And how he was reading an interview about this famous bullfighter who grew up as a horrible bullfighter. He wasn't very athletic.
No. He was the worst bullfighter ever.
Worst bullfighter ever until he became the best bullfighter ever.
In those days, if you were a bad bullfighter, you died.
You died. Yes.
You died.
Yeah, because...
If you didn't die from the gore, getting gored, I guess that's the word.
Gorged?
You died... Is it gored?
I don't know.
I think it's gored.
I think it is gored.
Yeah, you died from the...
Bacteria.
And
so he survived that, you know, and he kept doing it. And what he said was, this bullfighter, he says, I believe, and I'm going to totally...
paraphrase.
Thank you. Summarize and paraphrase. Thank you, Father. And it's it was all about, he goes, doesn't matter what profession you do or what you do, if you have the goal, it's only there to build your character. Doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
And it was like mind blowing. Because here's why it was mind blowing. Because I think we can all have that mental shift where this job of mine that I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. if I just took it out of, it's the only thing that does, it brings me money, mm-hmm. but it also builds my character.
Right.
Can I do it better? Can
right.
I find more meaning in
Can
my
profession? Can I fill the space up of my day in a better way?
Right.
If it's about my character and not about the money.
Because I do believe that we can all find the course of our lives. Sometime in our lives, we're doing the thing that we love the most. And what we love the most becomes a way we make money. But a lot of times we aren't doing that. We're doing other things, and we have to find ways to make that thing of more value to
yes.
us because we're bringing in money, you know, or what it's our profession at the moment. And so I thought, if it could be character building, what does that do? Mm-hmm. Or during the trucking, if you're like with Daddy Trucks, you know, listening to podcasts, doing other things. I mean, there are ways that we can, whatever we're all doing, how do we bring more value to ourselves through our job?
Absolutely.
How do we bring more value to other people through our job? How do we, and how does this job bring us more character? Mm-hmm. And it was just mind blowing.
Like I told Quinn, you know, she goes, hey, you predicted that I would get this job and everything. She said, you got anything more? And I said, just always do more. Get known for doing more than you've been asked. That in itself will set you apart and will build character. You know, one of the things, too, that from the Tim Ferriss podcast, you talked about you know, should have been on Animal Story, whatever.
Right.
But this one gentleman said he met this dog that was in the movie.
Oh, a mask.
Mask.
Yes.
And he
it's
said
a little terrier.
Yeah, and this dog's a famous dog.
Yeah.
And he said that he was walking down the street in New York with the dog and his owner.
Right.
And he said, I learned from that dog so much because I learned how to approach life. And Tim said, well, tell me a little bit more. He said, that dog, no matter who he came up to, his tail would wag, and you could tell that he expected a miracle in that meeting.
Aww.
Like, this guy's going to love me. I'm going to get hugged by this guy. And he approached every person, every situation in this walk as if there was magic going to happen.
And him, it did.
And it did. And he said, I learned, this was years ago, he said, I learned that that's the one thing how I live my life now. I approach every situation as if magic is going
to
happen.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm glad you said the word years ago, because I'm thinking that dog had to be dead by now. But what was interesting about that story is that we were watching Chopped, a celebrity. And one of the Chopped celebrities was one of the dancers from
Dancing with the Stars, yeah.
Katrina, I think her name is.
Yes.
I don't know. But she talked about, she wins. Spoiler alert, it was 2013, this one was. But she talks about that, and she felt she
was going to win because
every Christmas she believes for a miracle.
Yes.
And she typically gets one.
Gets one.
And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm in love with you, first of all.
Yes.
But to live your life thinking that,
where's the next miracle going to happen?
Where's the miracle going to be at?
Yes.
How great.
Yeah, why wait till Christmas?
And not being disappointed if a miracle doesn't show up.
No.
But to be searching for miracles.
Searching for
you
miracles.
You typically find them. And we talk about that in Law of Attraction. It's like if you look, you know, if you're looking for something sad, you're going to typically find it. If you're looking for something that's a miracle, you're going to typically find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you just go, I'm so tired of trying to find the miracle in this pile of crap. You know?
Are the pony.
Well, my pony's called Miracle.
That's right.
I named that pony Miracle.
That's right.
But there typically is. If there's a pile of crap there, there's a pony somewhere around there.
Absolutely.
Well, I'd say a centaur, because that would be awesome.
Or a unicorn.
Or a unicorn.
I found a unicorn in my pot of poo.
Woo!
My pile of poo.
So this was our Christmas show.
Yes.
We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year. And Julie, I just want to say I love you so much, and I thank you for being my girl this whole year. You're just you're just amazing to me. And Normano, thank you for being my Normano all year long.
Oh, and thank you for being my wife, and thank you for Julie for being my kid.
No, you're welcome, Dad. And I just, you know, last night I remember saying, I just feel so incredibly blessed. And that's what I felt like last night, and I feel that today.
Yes.
And those are good feelings to have on this great holiday, you know. And yes, Jesus is a season.
That's
Jesus
right.
is the reason for the season.
And what are our two brothers' name that run BBS? I want to thank those dudes.
Doug and Don.
Thank you, Doug and Don.
At BBS Radio, thank you so much. We love you guys. Merry Christmas.
Have a great...
Yes.
They're great, and this show was... It was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great.